Well, thank you, Lisa, and good morning, everyone. Let's start with the most important aspect of the investigation and what we have been focusing upon over the last several days. Caitlin is safe, and she is in the custody of social services leaders in South Carolina at this time. She appears to be unharmed, and of course, we're all very relieved. As a community, as public safety, we are very relieved. Of course, this child and her siblings have endured terrible trauma and terrible tragedy. Baltimore County Police, Baltimore County's Department of Social Services, the Health and Human Services Division, the FBI will continue to provide aid and assistance over the next several days and weeks as this matter unfolds. Our social services personnel will be working with social services officials in South Carolina, and Caitlin will eventually be returned to the state of Maryland in the very near future. Let's talk about the sequence of events that unfolded over the last day or so. And as you know, police responded at 9 a.m. Thursday to the home in R.D. Way, where Bobby Joe Cortez was found murdered, particularly violent, brutal murder, and in her bedroom by one of her daughters. Caitlin was missing. We determined that Timothy Wirtz, Caitlin's biological father, had taken her and fled in the 1999 Dodge Durango. An Amber Alert was issued Thursday morning, almost immediately. Now, at this time, I want to thank the media for their efforts in this case. Very noble work that the media provided in initially getting the information out. The public, with our new electronic means of communication, social media, and, of course, the very robust Amber Alert system that's in place all across America today. And we'll get to that in a few seconds. Between Thursday morning and the time Wirtz was found in South Carolina last night, our detectives worked around the clock, tirelessly pursuing thousands of leads, bits and pieces of information that helped us understand what his movements potentially could be, perhaps where they were going, and helped us focus our resources in certain areas and move away from certain other avenues. None of these tips or leads panned out until yesterday afternoon. It's important to point out that the FBI was involved at the very early stages of this investigation. In fact, within hours, the FBI was involved partnering with Baltimore County Police Department. However, yesterday afternoon, as a result of the FBI's early involvement and certainly their critical role, we were able to mass communicate in addition to the other established means where we thought these individuals may be going. I will state at this time that certain information helped us pinpoint our efforts in a certain direction south of Maryland. We did receive credible information that Wirtz was, in fact, in North Carolina. And this, for the first time, gave us a firm idea of the direction that he may be headed. Last night, we received, again, credible information from the Florence City, South Carolina Police Department that a Dodge Durango, driven by Wirtz, was located at the Colonial Inn Motel, located just off of I-95. This occurred at approximately 8 o'clock last night. We're going to refer additional comments as to exactly what happened at that scene to officials in Florence City Police Department, but I will tell you that we believe that Wirtz was arrested without incident. He will, in fact, be extradited to the state of Maryland for prosecution, and our investigation is active at this point in time. Let's talk for a minute about some of the aspects of this case that I think are absolutely essential. The successful outcome of this case was a result of new technology and communication tools. Certainly, we believe that getting out via the Amber Alert system, the media's work on this case, public safety notification systems that went up and down the East Coast, citizens talking to each other, Facebook, Twitter, and other communication means led to the successful outcome. In fact, in this case, we believe that a clerk that was employed at the motel communicating via social media established the suspect's name and simply coordinated that name with a registrar at the motel. So obviously in this case, our citizen keyboard crime fighters played an essential role in bringing Caitlin to safety and bringing this matter to closure. It clearly indicates the system does in fact work, and again, we firmly believe in public safety. The successful outcome of this is a result of not just public safety, but all citizens and many occupations, including yours, working together. Now, I can't overemphasize the role of the FBI in this case. There were other federal agencies involved as well, and of course, local and state law enforcement authorities. But in my 36 years, I've never seen a greater degree of cooperation on a particular case. The coordination was absolutely stunning. And had it not been for the FBI's early involvement in this case, when we felt as though the subject had the means and the wherewithal to leave the area, that the outcome of this thing would not be the same without the FBI's involvement. So again, I thank the Federal Bureau of Investigation for their work. And I'm going to stop at this point and try to, the group or team is prepared to answer any questions you may have.
Chief, you said he had the means and wherewithal to leave the area. Do you know his ultimate destination?
We do not. However, it's clear that he was on a path south of the state of Maryland. And again, the means was a limited amount of assets and a vehicle, you know, to move. We have not determined a motive for the homicide at this point in time. Obviously, a statement of charges and the charge against Timothy Virts for murder. We believe he is the suspect in this case. The matter has been, and we've been communicating with State Attorney Scott Schellenberger from the early stages of this investigation, and we do anticipate a successful prosecution.
Chief, did he have help on the run, and would someone go into whether or not you were able to track him through credit cards or maybe phone?
We do not believe at this point in time that there was any direct help to flee and or to travel. And I am not going to discuss the exact science and or tools we used to help track him. But for your viewers, rest assured that all means that could have been used were used. And again, I want to highlight the involvement of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And I'm going to ask Steve if he wants to say any other words about that level of involvement.
Thanks, Chief. Appreciate it. And first of all, I just want to thank the Chief for his kind words about our assistance. And we really pride ourselves on our relationship with local and state and other federal agencies day in, day out. Here in Baltimore County, we've got Baltimore County officers assigned to numerous task forces, and we work every day. And those relationships assist us in matters like this, and we have to step up and get together on a high-priority matter like this. But we have 56 field offices throughout the land, 380 resident agencies. It's an approximate number. So we're always – and in each of those offices has relationships such as this. So when a case like this comes about and leads come up in different areas, all it takes is a phone call from one of my supervisors here to a supervisor in another city, and they'll get out there quickly with other local officials and cover the leads as necessary. And in this case, what we did is what we always do. We just used every tool we had. We attempted to track where Mr. Virts may be going, and we were very concerned for the safety of Caitlin, and that was number one, was to get her back and to find Mr. Virts and get him into custody, number two. So as we tracked where he was going, we targeted media to those areas to try to get leads. And again, the media was instrumental here, as the chief stated, and the public. I mean, the public called in, And that's what led to the successful resolution and Caitlin being safe, number one, and Mr. Virts being in custody.
Would
Thanks.
You please discuss how you tracked him?
No, I can't. We don't want to give out those techniques.
Any idea why Virts chose South Carolina? Does he have any ties there?
No, I don't know. Thanks. Thanks, Chief.
Getting back to the murder, Chief, did you secure a murder weapon, and what was it?
We do, in fact, have what we believe is the murder weapon at this time. I'm not going to disclose any further information related to the weapon, but our crime scene investigators and detectives have exhaustively examined the scene. Obviously, it's a great group of detectives that we had working on this particular case.
Would you also discuss why he took one child and not both?
I don't know. I think it's a fair answer in this particular case. We know that he had a bond with the children, and in this particular case, elected to take Caitlin. I do not know the circumstances as to why he chose to do that.
Media has reported that the other child may have some medical conditions that he wasn't comfortable with. Can you shed any light on that?
No.
Do you know about how many tips came in from the public?
I think it's safe to say thousands. And what's interesting in this case, we had security officials at the front desk take tips. We had secretaries and office officials, public professional staff, and or our more established organizations and units that were set up and designed. So when citizens get involved, I think oftentimes they'll just call whatever numbers they may have access to. But the art here, the science, if you will, is coordinating this information and then dedicating resources to follow through on these thousands of leads. Again, this is where the work of the Special Agent in Charge of the FBI office, Steve Voigt, and his staff were absolutely critical in bringing this to closure.
Until we hear from Florence, South Carolina police officials, could you help us with the apprehension of the individual and explain whether or not he was armed or perceived to be armed and how he surrendered, et cetera? Where did you find the child?
I think at this point in time, it's safe to say that, again, the clerk employed at that location, communicating via social media as a result of this widespread dynamic communication process, learned of the investigative information, the vehicle, the name, and they conducted a simple process of just looking at the register for that particular inn or motel. Law enforcement was summoned. They set up like you'd expect them to and like you view them on a constant basis, tactically. And again, the incident came to very quick closure without incident.
Can you talk about the child bound in any way? I mean, she's old enough to make communication on her own. Were any attempts on her part tried, or was she restrained?
We have no information to indicate that the child faced any particular harm during the last 48 hours.
Did she try to make communication?
I'm not aware of any communication efforts.
Can you talk about the extradition process, how long that might take? Is it complex?
Generally, what we experience in a case like this is a 7 to 12-day process or sooner. Our detectives, Baltimore County Police detectives, along with FBI officials, are responding and or at that location at this point in time.
Has he waived extradition in Florence?
We have no knowledge as to what his current decision-making is at this moment in time regarding that aspect.
The jail told us that he has waived extradition, so what does that mean?
It simply means the process to get him back to Maryland is much more expedited endeavor.
How relieved were you when you got word that Caitlin was found late last night?
Well, certainly I share, along with my public safety officials, the same sense of relief. And as a community, regionally, we all were very concerned about this 11-year-old. I mean, obviously, this was a very violent, brutal murder. And this individual's mental and emotional health state obviously is questionable. And as a public safety official, as law enforcement, our team wants to do everything we can to make sure that we don't have further tragedy for an innocent child in this case. Great relief.
Do you know if he was found in that same Durango that it put out, or if he, you know, if that description, you know, really helped, if he was found in that same vehicle?
Well, we do know that the vehicle was on the property. He was actually found in the hotel room.
That's right. I'm sorry.
Okay. But here again, it's a collegial effort of public safety, local, state, and as I've stated, federal authorities, dynamic community and citizen involvement, our keyboard crime fighters, for example, those people that sat for hours and communicated with friends and tried to collect and connect information, and then give credit where it's due. Media played an absolutely critical, essential role in this particular investigation. You should be very proud of that noble work you did.
Do any federal charges apply, and what are they?
I'm going to let Steve.
Mr. Virch was charged with unlawful flight to avoid prosecution. That's a federal crime, to flee across state lines to avoid being prosecuted. We filed those charges yesterday with the assistance of the United States Attorney's Office. Routinely, these are not prosecuted down the road. It's a warrant that's obtained federally so that the FBI can get involved and help local authorities find fugitives across state lines. Thanks.
And Chief, you mentioned keyboard crime fighting a couple of times. Would you elaborate a little bit about what that actually entails? I mean, are people literally online talking to others, and that's maybe how? You don't want to talk about how you actually found them, but
right. I've been very proud over the years, our own professional staff individuals that do data analysis in this age of data-driven technology, connecting and looking at intelligence, bits and pieces of information to help us focus our efforts. What I'm specifically talking about this morning is the citizen that's home, the student that watches and collects information and passes it along, all in that desire to help. And in this particular case, I'm absolutely convinced it led to the successful, safe closure of this chapter of this very terrible tragedy.
Do you know who's going to decide what's next for Caitlin and where she'll be?
Authorities from the Baltimore County Department of Health and Human Services, working with family, will make those decisions. I think that's about it. Lisa, you want to?
Yeah, I just want to again thank you all for coming. We will be providing the substance that was discussed here today in an article on our news blog, baltimorecountymd.gov/policefirenews. It'll take us just a few minutes to post that, but please bookmark that page. That's where we post all of our updates, and then we share those on social media. Thank you again.